Hello, everyone. I'm Rich Ercik. I'm a lead program manager for the ASP.NET team, and I'm the person who works with the community, including the ASP.NET website and the MVPs. And I'm glad to have you all here today for our December webcast. And today we want to talk about web deployment projects for Visual Studio 2005. And the web deployment projects is a tool that we recently released from our ASP.NET website. You can go there and download it. I have with me Bradley Bartz, who is a development lead from our team. And he's one of the developers on this project. And he's going to go ahead and give you an overview and some demos of the tool. Go ahead, Bradley.
Great. Thank you. Welcome, everyone. So we're going to do a quick walkthrough on what web deployment projects are, how they complement website projects inside Visual Studio 2005 today, and some of the cool things you can do out of the box and how you can customize it. So let's go ahead and get started. So one of the key attributes about websites in 2005, or Visual Studio 2005, is that they fully leverage the ASP.NET 2.0 server-side compilation model. And that is the key to bringing in rich IntelliSense in the design time experience. That is done actually by hosting the ASP.NET 2.0 compilation engine inside the IDE. We're hosting it just like IIS would or other servers. So we're hosting that runtime. We're using it in order to do the code generation in order to get the accurate IntelliSense. And that's a key component of websites inside Visual Studio 2005 today. Part of that process, and it's just mentioned on this slide, is build versus validation. Because we're leveraging ASP.NET as the compilation engine, inside the IDE, what we're really doing is validating that your site will compile. In fact, what's happening is an HTTP request comes in, the ASP.NET is doing the compilation on the request basis. The IDE is really giving us IntelliSense and validation that the site will compile successfully by ASP.NET. So when a build happens inside the IDE, we're validating. We're essentially validating. And that's one of the reasons you'll notice when you build inside Visual Studio 2005 today, you don't notice a DLL showing up in the bin. Instead, what's happening is we're validating that site again and ensuring that it will build on the subsequent request. And it's actually cached by ASP.NET. It's not a double compile. When we do the validation, ASP.NET, at least on the local machine, is in fact caching those results and using those same results during a later subsequent request. And by the way, I should point out that if anyone has any questions while we're going along, go ahead and shoot those into the question manager down on the lower right-hand portion of your screen, and we'll go ahead and take those questions in the order that they come in. So feel free to interrupt at any time with a question. Okay, so we're going to move on here. So I've just talked about the fact that websites inside Visual Studio 2005 don't actually produce binaries. It's doing validation. So one of the questions comes up, well, okay, I've built my website. How do I actually deploy it? How do I push it out somewhere? There's two options to do that inside Visual Studio 2005 today. One of those options is called publish website. The other is called copy website. What publish is doing is running the new ASP.NET compiler that ships with 2.0. This compiler, again, is using ASP.NET. It's provided with the ASP.NET 2.0 installation. It's part of the framework. And it will take an ASP.NET 2.0 website and pre-compile it and, in fact, create the binaries that you can use for distribution. Okay, so when we do a published website, what's happening is we run the ASP.NET compiler, pre-compile to an output folder, and then we can take that output folder and prop it up to an FTP site, a HTTP site through front page server extensions, or just out to a folder somewhere on one of your shares. So there's a way of taking and pre-compiling a website and publishing it to another location. That's the publish gesture. There's also a copy web feature. The copy web feature is for source level deployments. And so if you just want to take your site as is and publish it up to a hosted website, you can do that. And when you pop this up, you'll get basically it's like a folder synchronization UI. that allows you to push individual files from your website up to a remote site or synchronize them down. And it's providing folder-level synchronization between a remote site and your website open within the IDE. So those are a couple of deployment options that exist in 2005 when you install the product. Now, we did get a number of requests as people started playing with the product and looking at their different deployment options and how things were being built in 2005. One of the things you'll notice if you run the ASP.NET compiler is that it actually produces a fair number of assemblies that get copied into the bin. And this is different than what happened in 2003, Visual Studio 2003. In Visual Studio 2003, the IDE would compile your project into a single assembly and prop that up into bin. The ASP.NET compiler, on the other hand, would go ahead and generate a number of assemblies, one for app code, one for global ASMX, and they would generate a different assembly for a number of different folders and for pages. There's a couple of compiler options, but you're getting a lot of assemblies that are produced. So one of the questions we were getting is, how can I control that number of assemblies? I would like to reduce the number of assemblies. I would like the ability to name the assembly. One of the key things we heard is, look, I want to name my website, my assembly names, my company. I want to have some identity associated with these binaries that I'm distributing. I just don't want them all to say app underscore web something with some hash value. I want to be able to control the names of those assemblies. Another common request, and this is a request that we were hearing in Visual Studio 2003 as well as 2005, and that is the ability to change web config when I go to deploy. It is often the case that when you're doing development on a dev machine, you're going against the staging database. You're not going against the production database, at least I hope not. In many cases, at least with 2005, you can even use SQL Express and have an embedded version of the database running on your local dev box and not be impacted by other users on your dev team. So we have great isolation, but you may not want to deploy your website with a connection string to that local database. You might, in fact, want to go to a shared database resource. So that's a change to web config that we need to happen. One of the requests we heard also quite a bit about was the ability to exclude files from the build. ASP.NET compiler will go through and build all the compilable files that it finds in the website, and if you want to be able to exclude them, how do you do that? And another request that we got a lot with Visual Studio 2005 was how to add custom MS build tasks. Now, MS Build is a new build technology that ships with the 2.0 framework and is supported by Visual Studio. And this is a way for you to actually instrument a build process and actually inject your own logic, your own managed assemblies that run as part of that build. So it's a very extensible framework for doing builds. And so the question comes up, this is a wonderful framework. We love it. We're using it a lot for our class libraries, our rich client applications. I now want to use MS Build tasks and author tasks and customize the build for my websites. How do I do it? Unfortunately, website projects that ship today inside Visual Studio 2005 do not directly support customization through MS Build. So in there lies part of the problem. How can we add that capability? Along comes, and that led to the introduction of web deployment projects. What is a web deployment project? Web deployment projects are an add-in to Visual Studio 2005. And I think that's a key point to highlight here. We do not change or edit or alter in any way the shipping binaries or bits that are part of the Visual Studio 2005 installation. This is strictly a value add, it's an add-in proposition, and it doesn't change the behavior of existing scenarios or functionality. It simply adds functionality to the site. So you can download it. When you download it and install it, it'll register itself with Visual Studio 2005, and once it's registered, some new commands will show up. Here's a key thing. It is a standard MS Build project file. So what this means is that it now introduces into Visual Studio the concept of a project file that you can use to instrument your builds or the builds of websites. It comes with, it comes with a bunch of predefined tasks that it uses internally for building your website and allows you the ability to start customizing that build. The next bullet is it's a companion project to a website. This is very similar to setup projects. If you've ever looked at how Class Library and EXE Rich Client applications are built, they're built and tested, and when you're ready to deploy, you can add a setup project, which will then take your Rich Client apps and package it up into an MSI that you can use for deployment or for distribution. A web deployment project is analogous. It's a project that you can add to your solution. It'll take a website, package it up in such a way that it's pre-compiled to your specifications. Your custom build actions can run and fire as part of that compilation package till you get the deployment image that you want to deploy. Now here's the kick. Here's the fun part. It did all the packaging for you and got it ready for deployment, but it also fully supports and is compatible with setup projects. So you can then add a setup project, and it can consume a web deployment project to create an MSI. So you can actually create an MSI of compiled binaries of your website for deployment purposes with a web deployment project. And it's interesting to note, you might say, well, wait a minute. I can use setup projects with Visual Studio 2005 today with my website, and that is true. You can add a setup project to Visual Studio 2005 today, and it can reference a website, and it will gladly create an MSI for you. The key distinction, though, is that when it's doing that with a website project in Visual Studio 2005, it's creating a source-level deployment. The sources are actually in the MSI for deployment to the remote site. ASP.NET, remember, server-side compilation, will gladly compile it. It'll run just fine. It's great. But if you don't want to do a source-level deployment and distribute an MSI, how would you do that? Use a web deployment project. That'll allow you to create a binary deployment that you can then use for input into creating an MSI. Now, I mentioned earlier that the ASP.NET compiler created a lot of assemblies, and that one of the key requests that we heard a lot about was the ability to reduce, one, the number of assemblies that are created, and two, the ability to name those assemblies, to have more control over the assemblies that are produced in the compilation process. Well, one of the utilities that ships with web deployment projects is the ASP.NET Merge utility. This is a new utility, and this utility will take the outputs of the ASP.NET compiler and merge the assemblies together, allowing you to change the naming of those assemblies into a smaller set of assemblies or even a single assembly that you want to use for deployment. More important, not only does it do that, collapse the number of assemblies, but it will fix up the pages of your site that are referencing the old assembly name to reference the new assembly name. So it keeps the integrity of your site whole. So that's a very powerful utility. The next bullet is all these things that I've mentioned. We have pre-built tasks. We have tasks that encapsulate the merge utility, the ASP compiler, a number of other things. Those are all build tasks that ship with web deployment projects when you download it. You'll have these new tasks ready to use. And then the ability to add new ones. Okay. So you add a web deployment project. We'll go through a demo in just a minute here. So when you add a web deployment project, by default, it's going to allow you to do some things. It does provide some UI. You might be asking, well, how does it add UI? I thought, this is just an MS build file. It's a project file, as we talked about earlier. It is a project file. When you add it to your solution, we've added some project properties for web deployment projects that allow you to change the default options for how the built-in tasks will compile. And there is some UI for setting the very common kinds of things that you're going to want to do. So for the most part, most users, hopefully, will not have to go in and learn the semantics of how to customize an MS Build project file. You should be able just to use the UI, pick the settings you want, and then move ahead. For more advanced scenarios, you can get into editing the file. And we'll actually show an example of that as we go through this. So what are some of the things you can do through the UI? There's four categories of options that you can set, one of which is compilation. How do we compile it? Am I going to create? Do I want to generate debug symbols or not? What output folder? Where am I going to compile this thing to? Those kind of things you can affect in the compilation. There's a section for output assemblies. This is where you get to set the number of assemblies. So we'll go each through these, signings and deployment. I'm kind of jumping ahead, so I think I expand these, so I'll jump right ahead right now. Again, I mentioned in compilation you can set the output folder, whether or not you want debug information. Now here's an interesting little bullet. It says use IIS metabase path for source input. What the heck does that mean? That bullet actually is a very powerful feature, especially if you're building webs that have subwebs. Command line ASP.NET compiler, by default, will compile a disk path. So if you point to a disk path and tell it, hey, compile this thing up into a pre-compiled website for me, it'll gladly do that. Now, what if your website contains subwebs that are part of that? Well, those just show up as subfolders on that directory tree. So when you compile it, it's going to try to compile all the folders that it finds, including those subfolders, which may not be correct, because if those are subwebs, those should have their own separate compilation. They have their own bin, they have their own app root, they have their own web config file. They're a different compilation. Well, if you just run the ASP compiler, giving it a disk path, it's going to do the wrong thing. You really want to be able to tell the compiler what folders are part of which compilation unit or what web that needs to be compiled. Again, this is related to subwebs. This is actually a key limitation of, it's not a limitation. If you go publish inside Visual Studio 2005, if you say publish and you've opened an IIS web, it'll do the right thing. It'll use the metabase parameter and only compile the right webs to publish, so that's great. There are some scenarios using MS Build today on remote machines where that can be problematic, and web deployment projects allow you to be very specific about how it uses the metabase, and we'll see that.
So Bradley, another way of thinking about that is that in IIS, virtual directories are not necessarily contiguous within the file system. And so if you're just publishing a set of directories, you might not get all of the virtual directories in the IIS application unless you also go and you're walking through the virtual directory namespace within IIS.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. The last option is an option that the ASP compiler supports today as well, which is to allow the site to be updatable. You might ask, I'm pre-compiling it. What does updatable mean? Why do I need it to be updatable? Updatable is a pretty cool site. Many of you are familiar with this, so if you're already familiar, I apologize for being redundant with some of these capabilities. But an updatable website basically means the markup is left intact, so that markup can be changed after you do deployment. So you can change the look, the style, the theme, a little bit of your website. If it's a non-updatable website, you're deploying it, the markup's stripped from the pages, so you get a pre-compiled image of the website, and you're not really expecting people to change it afterwards. And this allows the ASP.NET compiler to preserve the markup so that it can be updated by your artists later, your UI artists. Okay, let's move on. Output assemblies. There is a tab in the UI for controlling the output assemblies. First one, that's the default option. Perhaps the most requested feature, which is, hey, I want a single assembly for my site. You have that option now. With that option checked, and when you run build on this web deployment project, it will pre-compile the site and then use the merge utility to create a single assembly for the entire site. The other options are for different kinds of deployment capabilities. By far, the most common one is a single assembly. The next one is allows you to do one assembly per content folder. What does that mean? This is really envisioning the kind of model where you might have an admin folder. You might have a different folder for different categories of functionality. And you want to be able to independently service those. Okay, this would give you an option of generating a different assembly for each of those folders that could be independently serviced later on. So it's a way of partitioning the site up into smaller, more serviceable units. So that's what we start to go through here. So you can do an assembly per content folder. Here's kind of an interesting option, the next option down, which is a single assembly for all UI components. So the merge utility has this concept between like your app code folder, your top level kind of folders. That's one class of code. That would be one assembly, and all the pages and controls could be compiled up into a separate assembly. Again, that's the idea that you might want to service the UI independently of servicing some of your middle tier logic. So that's another way of partitioning the compilation. And finally, you can go back to today's behavior, which is to generate an assembly for every page or control. So we do preserve that capability as well. Again, we keep the ability to sign your assemblies. Now that we allow you to merge them all together, you might need to sign them, use delay signing to allow partially trusted callers on your assemblies that are produced. All those signing options are available and supported. Okay, so we just discussed several of the options for that web deployment projects offer, and none of them really were talking about deployment. They were kind of talking about, you know, compilation and packaging. And this next step is allows you to do a little bit of a transformation on your precompiled image before deployment. And remember, I think I mentioned earlier that one of the most common requests we had from 2003, Visual Studio 2003, was the ability to change database connections or the ability to change your web references. Again, usually at design time, I'm not using the production database server. I may not be using the production web references to those web services. I may have staging ones I want to use. Those are stored in webconfig, and before I deploy, they've got to be fixed up. Wouldn't it be nice if part of packaging up my website, I could make those replacements? There are some custom tasks in web deployment projects that allows you to replace sections from webconfig. So we do expose some UI that allows you to do that. Now, as part of this, there's a task that actually will allow you to create a virtual directory. Now, it's really creating a virtual directory just on the local machine to the deployed image, but that can be very useful for testing. You may be doing your local building up and design time testing, iterating on your site. Now you're getting ready for deployment. You do a deployment build. You create your deployment image, but you want to do a sanity check. You want to go against that deployment image, make sure that everything, all your build did all the right actions, you're getting the right database strings in there. You can actually have it create a IIS virtual directory pointing to the output of the precompiled website, so you can do some quick unit testing, validate your site, send your QA people against it, just make sure it looks good, now deploy it to your staging server or move on with it. So it's another way of making it easy to validate that. The third option might seem a little strange. We've added an ability to remove app code from the deployment image. Seems like a strange thing to add in. Well, one of the things you may have noticed in 2005 is that by default, whenever you create a new website, we're creating an app data folder. And we're doing that so that permissions can be set properly on that folder for the ASP.NET to have the read-write access to that folder and for SQL Express. If you're actually doing a deployment and creating a deployment where your deployed web isn't going to have SQL Express and you're actually going to a production server, you're going to package this thing up, you're feeding it to an MSI or something like that, you may have an app data folder, you've changed the connection strings to go to SQL Server, but then you've still got an app data folder sitting in your precompiled image with a full copy of your SQL Express database. You probably don't want to deploy that if you've gone through the trouble of changing the connection strings. So again, these are the top common things that people want to do. They change the connection strings. Well, if I change the connection string, I really don't want the app data folder. So in that case, we give you the ability to remove the app data folder. Again, those are the top requests that we've had. We've provided UI for doing that.
Okay, thanks, Brad. We have a question from one of the audience. We have Steve Orr, who's asking, can you pick which folders get compiled into an assembly? How are images and other files handled?
Good question. So in answer to that, the images, for example, wouldn't get compiled into an assembly at all, but if you want to actually exclude an entire folder from the compilation process, can you do that? The answer to your question is yes, you can. We didn't expose UI to allow you to pick folders to exclude, but, and I'll show this on the more advanced scenarios, we do allow you to define paths or folders or individual files that you want to be excluded from the build process. Now, this is where I'll put up a little disclaimer. Remember, I mentioned the ASP.NET compiler, which is actually doing the compilation, the command line tool. It doesn't have the ability for me to tell it to exclude a folder. So what we actually have to do for implementing this task is create a copy before we compile. So when you say to exclude a file from the build, what it's going to do is create a copy of the website into a different location, excluding the files you told us to exclude, and then build that. So it may or may not be exactly what you're looking for, but there is the ability to exclude files from the build, and for most cases, it works just fine. So that ability is there. Okay, enough chit-chat, enough PowerPoint. Let's take a look at what's really going on here. So I'm going to switch to my desktop, so bear with me for just a second here. Okay, what I have is Visual Studio opened up, and you may recognize I have two projects in my solution. It's pre-opened. I have just a business logic. This just represents a class library project that's in the solution with a class. Matter of fact, there's nothing in the class. It's just a stub to show that we're referencing a DLL, that DLL gets copied to bin and is part of eventually going to be part of a deployment. So there's nothing really special or magical there. This other sample I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. I don't know if live meetings are slowing my box down or what. Here we go. Okay, I'm going to close this start page. You may recognize this website I have here. This is actually the Personal Web Starter Kit. So it's just a representative of an app that I'm going to build. And it has a bunch of pages. It does have an app data folder with a SQL Express database. And if I pull up a page, you'll see the page here, and I can actually run this web. I'm going to go ahead and do that. So you run the web, it's compiling it. You notice a little icon popping up at the bottom for the ASP.NET development server. This is not even using IIS. So this is using the built-in web server that we provided with Visual Studio 2005. It's pulling up the browser. It's going against that site, going to pull it up. And with any luck, we'll see a page get rendered here from the Personal Web Starter Kit. Of course, I'm running this with the debugger attached. Okay, there we go. And so this is running the Personal Web Starter Kit, and you know, there's a photo that's actually coming from the SQL Express database. So the site is running. It is a valid running site. I'm going to go ahead and just stop this Cassini server or ASP.NET web server there. Okay. I mentioned earlier that there were two deployment options that exist in the product today, one of which was the copy website and the other is the publish website. I'll go ahead and show you the publish. Copy is just the source level deployment. Publish website is the ability to take a website and pre-compile it. This piece of UI that you're looking at right now, these are actually the parameters to the ASP.NET compiler, the ASP.NET underscore compiler.exe, these are parameters to that, in which case we're giving a path. Where do you want the precompiled image to go? Do you want it to be updatable? There's that updatable option. That compiler does have a fixed naming convention. You know, by default, that ASP.NET compiler actually generates a unique name for the assemblies every time you build. Well, as you can imagine, if you're actually going to try to service your site, that could be a bit of a problem. So at least in the shipping code for Visual Studio 2005, an ASP compiler, there is an option to say, hey, generate the same name every time you build for my assemblies. And again, you have the ability to do signing and allow partially trusted callers and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to go ahead and just build that, publish that website to a folder on my hard disk and see what happens. And again, I'm not showing web deployment projects yet. I'm just showing the existing functionality as it comes out of the box. Okay, we're almost done there. Well, what happened? Let's go take a look. A new folder showed up. This is simply the directory where my solution exists. This is where my company website is. These are the files that are open in the solution. They're just files sitting there on the disk. And by default, it picked a folder, which is a peer of the website folder right here. It's a peer where I put the precompiled image. I'll go into there. There's a folder that it created for the website. I'll go in there. And so this is the pre-compiled image. And if I look in the bin, we'll look in the bin, and you'll notice that there are a bunch of DLLs that have been produced. Okay, so that represents the pre-compiled website. That's functionality that's shipping in the product today. Okay. Well, we've gone through the trouble of downloading a web deployment project. I've heard a lot about them. You know, I want to change this. I don't want to use the pre-compiled, the publish feature. I want to get a single assembly for my web. How do I do it? What's the next step? After you download the web deployment project, well, you can go to any website that you have open in the solution and IDE, and you can right-click on it, and you'll get the shortcut menu. A new menu item will show up. That menu item is Add a Web Deployment Project. So that, again, this is a new command showing up after you install Web Deployment Projects. When I select that item, it now says, oh, okay, great. I'll happily do that. What do you want to name it, and where do you want it located? By default, it's going to create it, again, as a peer, kind of like Publish did, of where my website is. I'm going to let it do that. I'm going to say, yeah, sure. I'm going to go ahead and take the defaults. Say, go for it. Great. So what happened? I got a node sitting in my solution. What's that all about? Web deployment projects themselves don't have files. It is referencing my source web. And this is where it's a companion project, much like a setup project. If I were to add a setup project, it would show up, and it doesn't replace the files that I have in my other projects. It's just going to consume them. So there's no files. What's there? What can I do? Well, if you right-click, there's a couple of things that show up. I can build it. I can open up the project file and start editing it for custom stuff. There's also property pages. Property pages is the little piece of UI I was telling you about earlier that allows me to change the build options. So I'm going to go ahead, and you can either go through the context menu like this and select property pages, or simply double-click on the node in Solution Explorer, and you'll get the same dialog popping up. What are you looking at? This is a Visual Studio project properties, and you'll notice a couple of things right away that I want to call out. Over to the left, there's these four categories of options that we discussed in the PowerPoint slides: compilation, output assemblies, signing, and deployment. But above that, if we look up above, you'll notice something that says configuration, active and debug. I've just pulled it down, and there's a couple of configurations. Debug and release are the default configurations that happen when you add new projects or that are part of your solution. And there's also a configuration manager. The key here is that web deployment projects, since they are full MS Build project files and indeed fully integrate with the Visual Studio, allow you to change different compiler options, different sets of configurations, or options, build options, per configuration. So for example, I may want it to build one way when I'm building for debug and a different way when I'm building for release. We'll see where that comes in really handy in a little bit. Okay, so by default it's saying, hey, okay, I've got debug. So it's going to show you the options for whatever configuration you select. If I select release, notice how the output folder changed from debug to release. I go back to debug. So the options, again, are configuration specific. So by default, it's saying, oh, it builds into a folder called debug. Great, okay, it sounds good. By default, it's going to generate debug information. I like that. I can use it. Use IIS Metabase for source input. This is where you could set the metabase path that you wanted to use or to pass through the ASP compiler. In this case, I'm just using a disk-based web, so I'm not going to worry about it. And the last option is to allow it to be updatable. Again, these are the same options that we saw in the PowerPoint slides, but now in much more default and much more detail. Under output assemblies, this is again where I get to set the assembly name. And by default, it's getting just basically the same name as a project, but I could name this anything. I could call this my company. Okay, that's what I'm going to name the output assembly. Remember, I could merge each one into a separate assembly. Now here, if I'm merging each into a folder into its own assembly, I can't specify a name that they all get. In this case, what you're doing is specifying a prefix that will be used for every assembly that's produced. And again, finally, you can merge all the controls, all the UI elements into a single assembly or create a separate assembly for each page. I'm going to go ahead and go with the default, which is I just want a single assembly. We also allow you the option of giving your assembly a version number. I could say, yeah, I want to version this thing. I want it to be version 1.0.1.0.1000 or whatever I want. So I could set an assembly version. I'll go ahead and do that. So now I will get, when I do this build, I will get a version. One of the cool tasks that I'll try to demo here later is actually a custom build action to create an auto increment version. So this UI allows you to set a fixed version number. If you know the version you're going to use, that's great, but you can actually build an auto increment version and use it in the MS build file, so that's pretty cool. Again, these are similar signing options if you want to sign it. This is the last tab here, deployment. This allows you to change some of the deployment options, whether or not you want it to do some web config replacements, create a virtual directory, or remove the app data folder. I'm not going to do any of that just yet. I'm going to go ahead and take the options by default that we've got here where I've just given it a version number and accepted my an assembly name. I'm going to apply those changes. Okay. So it's sitting there. Well, what happens? What does it do? I'm just going to go build it. You can see in the output window, maybe on the bottom here, that it's actually using the ASP.NET compiler as part of the compilation, so it's running that task and running that compiler. You can see now that it's using the ASP.NET merge utility, and it's now merging the various assemblies produced by the ASP compiler together. And it completed. Well, what did it do? Let's go to the file system and take a look. Okay, I'm going to step back up. This was the folder we're in right now is for the pre-compiled when I did publish. This time I did a web deployment project. I'm going to go into the folder that it created for my web deployment. Within there, it went into a debug folder. I'm going to crack the debug folder, take a look at it. This is the pre-compiled site that I used. Excuse me, I'm going to just switch it here to details view that it created for the pre-compiled image. Let's go look in the bin and see what's here. First thing you should notice, there's a lot fewer assemblies. Matter of fact, you'll notice that I have a My Company DLL. Now, you'll also notice that there's this Business Logic DLL. Now, we did specify one assembly. Why are there two different DLLs here? The answer to that is, in the solution, we had a reference to a class library project. That was an assembly called Business Logic that got copied to the bin. The merge does not merge other assemblies that aren't dynamically generated by ASP.NET. So all that we're merging together are the assemblies produced by ASP.NET compiler. Those are the assemblies that got merged. So if I go back to the bin here, we do see that we now have one assembly for the ASP.NET portion of the code called My Company DLL, and we have the Business Logic DLL. So great, I'm now down to one assembly for essentially my website that I built, at least my ASP logic, and I now have a much smaller deployment image. That's pretty cool. Still got an app data folder. If we look at it, it's still got the SQL Express database. It's pretty much the same website we had before, but pre-compiled. Let's go have some fun with it. So let's say that what you really want to do is you don't want to deploy this with SQL Express and an Express database. Instead, you want to build a staging release. You want to build a release just for QA. Not necessarily the production release either. This is a release for the QA team to go beat up on. How would we do that? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring up those property pages on the, not on the website. I'm going to go to the Web Deploy project. I'm going to pull up the property pages. I'm going to create a new configuration. So to do that, I'm going to pull up the configuration manager. Now, this configuration manager that you're seeing right now is not new with web deployment projects. It is what exists in Visual Studio 2005. And it allows you to define different categories, different collections of options that you're going to build. So I can do a debug build, a release build, or create a new one. I'm going to go ahead and create a new one. I'm going to call it staging. And I'm going to have staging just copy the settings from debug and say go. Okay, so now I have a new staging build as a build type. Now, as part of doing a staging build, maybe I don't want to build my website. Maybe I just want to build the web deployment project. Now, remember, I mentioned very early on, one of my first slides that was inside the IDE, Visual Studio 2005 today really is doing validation, not necessarily producing binaries. So really, I don't need it to build as part of the solution level build. I can turn that off. I can also just enable the web deployment project to do the build for me. So that's what I'm going to do here. I'm going to turn off the building of the website and turn on the building of the website deployment project. And this is only under the staging configuration where these settings are applying. I'm going to go ahead and say OK. Now you'll notice in my drop-down for configuration, I have debug, I have release, and I have something called staging. Great, that's the new configuration that I created. My active configuration right now is staging, so that's these options that I'm setting. You notice by default it's going into a folder called staging. Okay, instead of debug, that makes sense, okay. I'll take that. I still want to do my company. Oh, look, it preserves, remember I said earlier in that option, I said copy the options from the debug configuration. Here I'm picking that up. So all those options I set for the debug configuration have been copied, replicated over for the staging configuration. Great. Less I've got to edit as I go through and change this. I'm going to keep the version numbers the same now. I'm not going to worry about signing. Now I want to have some fun. When I do my staging build, I want to change web config a little bit. How do I do that? One of the things that, at least the task, that we've provided as part of web deployment projects allows you to replace sections from web config with the contents from another file. And it's actually using the config source attribute that are on section tags in web config. There's a new config source capability part of ASP.NET 2.0 configuration stuff. I encourage you to look it up. But this is taking advantage of that feature. So the way this works right here is you define a section you want to replace and the file that it's going to come from. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to define connection strings. That's the section I want to replace. And I'm going to say equals what? Oh, I'm going to have a file in my solution that I add called staging. Staging.config. Okay? So this list is simply a name value pair list. It's a section name equals file name. It's a very simple piece of UI, not very sophisticated, name, value, pair, combination. They can be semicolon delimited, so I could add another if I wanted to replace the in-app settings with another file. I could do that here. Okay. In this example, I'm just going to do connection strings. The next two options are generally not needed. They can be useful. Enforce matching section replacements. That's a mouthful, but what that is really trying to say is make sure the file that I'm using to replace my section has the same number of elements in it. And this is useful, for example, at design time, if I were to add another database connection into web config, and now I go to do my deployment build, what if I haven't updated staging file yet with where the staging server is for that new connection string? Then I would get a build error when I built. So if I want to enforce that I always fix up my external files that have the same number of entries at least, you can do that here. The last checkbox is subtle. I'm actually going to check it. It says use external configuration source file. You'll see what this does, but remember I mentioned that we're taking advantage of a config source attribute of the section elements. That config source attribute allows you to reference the section in an external file instead of merging it into the config file. And that's really handy. that allows you to, once the reference is there, you could even change that file as you go from staging to production. I don't have to replace all of web config. I just have to change staging.config to have a different connection string in it or replace that one file, and I'll pick it up. So it's just putting an external link inside web config to pull it from that file at runtime. So I'm going to go ahead and check that in this case. Hey, since we're building a staging build, it'd be kind of cool if we could test it and see if it actually works. So I'm going to do that in this case. I'm going to say, yeah, let's create a virtual directory for this. And let's just call it company site. So I'm going to say, yeah, create me a virtual directory named company site. And if it already exists, go ahead and replace it. Now, I've just replaced the connection string. I'm creating a little virtual directory. And in this case, I really don't need the app data folder, so I'm going to nuke it. Okay, and I've said to do all that for the staging build. Apply. Okay, sounds good. Now, before I can do this, if I'm referencing a staging file, I better have a staging file in my project. So I'm going to do that. Excuse me while I drag and drop. I've got a little staging config file here. Let me just show you what's in it. I'm going to drag it and drop it into the company site. And pull this guy up. And all that's in this file is a new connection string. And it's changing the connection string to actually go against the SQL Server database instead of the SQL Express database that we have. Again, I'm not changing web config, no change to web config, I just added this file. Now, with any luck, as long as I haven't made any errors, of course it's demo time, I should be able to build the staging build of this web deployment project and see what happens. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. Key to note is that up here in the top corner, you'll notice that the active configuration is still staging. Whatever's in that dropdown, that's the configuration that's going to build when you select build. So if I wanted to build debug, I would put it on debug. If I want to build staging, I put it on staging. So I'm going to do a staging build. I told Visual Studio, build the staging configuration. Okay, let's build this guy.
So while we're waiting for this to build and complete, I just want to remind everybody that you can download this from the www.asp.net website. If you go to the Downloads tab, you can find the application there. Just look on the right-hand column index for web deployment projects and click on that, and that'll take you right to the link. So great tool, and encourage you to download that, especially if you have fairly complex projects, or if you miss some of the features that you used to have in Visual Studio 2003 and want to have some of that power back in 2005.
Great, thank you. I've gone into the staging folder of the web deployment project. There's my new website that it's built for me. If I look in the bin, you'll notice that it still has a mycompany.dll that's been precompiled into a single assembly for me. And let's take a quick look at what it did to webconfig. You look up here, I'll highlight it, the connection string section. The connection string section now has a config source attribute pointing to the staging config file. Wonderful. And there is a staging config file in here. Notice that there is no app data folder. Now, I told it to create a virtual directory for this guy called company site. Let's see what happens. If that's true, I ought to be able to go to the site and browse it. So let's do it. Company site default ASPX. Let's go there.
Interesting headline here.
Okay, it is running, it's servicing something up. I don't know if you can notice this, but it does have a different photo here. This is actually going against a different photo album database than what we were using in our SQL Express database. I'm going to go ahead and log in with a test user because this was a test. This user, by the way, doesn't exist in the development database, and if I were to run that on SQL Express, you'd find out that that database doesn't have it. But in here, if I go into the albums, in this case, I've got a test album. This is test user. That's Ichiro down there at a Mariners game. But at any rate, this is a different photo album than what ships in the Personal Web Starter Kit. We are, in fact, going against a different database. So that's pretty cool. So we just built a staging release, fixed up the connection strings, went elsewhere. So that's pretty neat stuff. Okay, so that's great. We're running, how are we doing on time?
We probably want to break and have some questions in just a minute, but
absolutely.
You have a few more minutes left.
The one thing I would really like to show, I kind of promised, was the how to make an auto-incrementing version number as part of my builds, which is showing how to customize this. I can also show exclude at the same time, but that's going to be gated on time. Are there some questions? There are.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and enter any questions that you have now, and we'll go through some of them. We already have one here from Joe Brinker, and Joe asks, are auto-generated names consistent between builds? In other words, will I always get the same assembly names, assuming no other changes?
If you pick to generate a single, if you check some of the merge options in there, the answer to that is absolutely. So if I go into this UI here, and I say, output assemblies, they say merge all into an output assembly, a single assembly name, yes. That assembly will name my company. It will not change. It won't do anything else. Again, any of these options here, it's going to give me a unique assembly name. We only exposed four options here. Even the create a separate assembly for each page in control uses the fixed name argument for the ASP compiler. So in all four of these options, you're getting consistent assembly names from build to build. Now, the ASP compiler by default doesn't have to use the fixed names option. If you just use it by itself, yes, it can generate different assembly names from build to build, but web deployment projects by default is not using that or exposing it to the UI. So all of these options are giving you the same assembly names from build to build, provided nothing else changes. Now, if you pick one of these options and say, hey, give me a new assembly name for each folder, and you add a new folder, you're going to get a new assembly, but its name is not going to change. So you're going to get the same assembly names from build to build. So,
okay, thank you.
Okay. Let's go take a look at, I told you this was a standard project file, MS build file. One of the things we allowed you to do on a web deployment project was to edit that file. So I'm going to go ahead and open it up. And what you are seeing right now is a web deployment project here. I'm going to just collapse the Solution Explorer so we can see more of the configuration file. It's an MS build is an XML file that it reads, and these are the files or the attributes that are created by the UI. So when we went in there and we were modifying the UI and we said, hey, in debug, go to a debug folder. This is what it did. It persisted that as a property called output path under the debug configuration. Under the release configuration, the output path is release. Hey, look, there's the staging configuration we created, and it's going into a staging folder. So that's how MS Build works. It creates property groups that are conditional based on a configuration that's passed in. Okay. Bunch of other attributes. Remember I gave it assembly version information? The way that our MS Build task works for assembly assembly versioning or assembly attributes for the merged assembly is we take a assembly attributes collection. And so any assembly attribute we could define here. It just so happens we've supplied a couple for assembly file version and assembly version. We could also add company name, any other assembly attributes you could add to this collection. They would get put into your metadata for your assembly. And here's the section for that. So for the staging config to replace connection strings with staging config. So those were all the stuff that was set by the UI, and now let's change it. One of the questions I heard earlier was how do I exclude a folder from the build? Let me real quickly show you how to do that. I have a cheat sheet here I'm going to pull up real quickly. You can define as part of the build files properties that you want to exclude. So if I were to go into the project file and create an item group, which I'm going to do here, exclude from build. If I just define this item group with the property named exclude from build, this is referencing my source web. Someone asked earlier about excluding images. What this will do is exclude all images from the deployed image. And again, I mentioned that what this is going to do is actually create a copy of the web, and that copy that it creates will not have the images folder, and the pre-compilation will happen on that set of copies. So excluding is a pretty simple thing to do. You can exclude from a build. So there's that. Likewise, there are build events you can override. There are four built-in events you can override. There's a before build, before merge, after merge, and after build. You can override these events and add custom actions. For example, a real simple custom action you might want to have, it just so happens on the personal web starter kit, it likes to have the upload folder exist in order to allow users to upload folders. So it would be, but by default, when you run the ASP.NET compiler, it will not create a folder for any empty folders. Since the upload folder is empty in my sample database, it doesn't exist in the precompiled image. So in this case, I might want to have a after build action custom task that creates that folder. And if I run this now, what it will do is exclude the images folder and create an upload folder when I build. I'm going kind of fast here because I know we're short on time, but I would like to show a task, and I'll reference it later, to do automatic assembly version increments. So I'm going to do that now. I'm going to do that for the staging build. So I have, excuse all this flicker that's going on there. I have provided a sample of a custom build task. I'm going to add an existing project to the solution just to show you what it is. Okay, what's in here is a custom MS build task. By the way, the source for this custom build task is available on my blog at weblogsasp.net, Bradley B. If you go there, you'll find the source for this. Basically, an MS build task is simply a class that derives from task and overrides the execute method. And there's a way to pass parameters, which are basically just properties. What this task does is it takes as an argument, hey, where do you want me to persist the previous build numbers to so I know what to increment from? In this case, it's just going to use a little text file, store the previous build numbers there. Every time you build, it'll increment the number, but what it will do is it also takes the current date. So today's date is December 8th, so it would have a date like 5 for the year, 12/08 is the build number, and then within that build number, it'll have revisions for each build within that day. So we'll start out with revision 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on. And then tomorrow we'll start out with a new build date and revision from there. And so that's all this task does when it does increment numbers, is it's just trying to calculate the build number from the current date and increment a build number that it reads from the file and persist that back out. Okay, it's a very simple task. Okay, so that's what the task does. You don't have to have it in your solution. I was just showing you the task, so I'm going to go ahead and remove that from the solution. Yes. Now, if I want to consume that task, how do I do it? Well, you register custom tasks in MS Build by giving a using task declaration. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to go up to the project file up near the top, and I'm going to put in a using task. This says, hey, use task, task name, my tasks. There's that increment build number task that I created, and you tell it what assembly it's in. In this case, it's coming from my projects, my tasks, bin, debug, task.dll. That just happens to be where it's built on my box right now. Great. This registers the task with MS Build. Now, what I want to do is do something with it. So we're going to override the after build event with some custom actions. So we're going to put that in here. I'm going to go down to the bottom of the file. I'm going to replace the after build event, the before build event. I want to increment the build number before I build. So here is the task that I created called increment build numbers. One of its parameters is, hey, where do you want to store the file of my build numbers from build to build? So I'm telling it, hey, put it in a file called buildnumbers.txt. Put it in the same directory as my web deployment project. Now, When it runs, it creates a couple of properties. Two properties on that object that I defined are build number and revision number. So what in this task, what I'm telling it to do is, take the build number and revision number out of that task and expose them as properties in MS Build with the same name, build number and revision. Once I do that, I now have two properties exposed to MS Build. Then I'm going to tell it, now use those properties for creating the assembly version and assembly attribute, or the assembly attributes for assembly file version and assembly version. And I'm doing that by saying, hey, call it version 2.0 build number revision, 2.0 build number and revision. Now, one thing about this, since I'm using dynamically generated version numbers, then I don't need to have assembly version statically declared. So I'm going to delete the static declaration of version numbers up above, because I don't need those statically declared. I am now dynamically generating build numbers as part of the build. Okay, so I've added that to this project file. Again, I've got a write-up. If I'm going really fast, you can go to my blog. It gives you a complete step-by-step set of instructions for how to do this, including the source. So again, I apologize for being quick. But let's take a quick look and see what happens if I build. Hopefully I haven't made any typos or done anything egregious here, and it will just build.
Okay, while this is building, why don't we go ahead and let me ask you a question about you. Now, this is a unsupported download right now. Where do you go if you have questions about web deployment projects, or if you have suggestions? I believe there's a place on the, there's one or two forums where you're taking questions. Where do you recommend people go?
Yeah, the best place to go is just go over to the Visual Studio 2005 forums that are on ASP.NET forums. Matter of fact, there is a link. The same place where you download, I believe there's a link to the forums right there.
Perfect.
And so if you do that, you're good. Now let's see what happens when we build. So I'm looking in the output window right now of the build. Notice that when I built, it set the version number to 512.08.0. I'm going to go into the staging folder where it created these assemblies. The assembly is in the bin. Let's go to the bin. This is the new assembly. We just produced it. If I go ahead and pull this guy up and I look at the properties of that guy, let's go over to the version. What's the version string? Notice there's today's date, revision number. Just for fun, I'm going to build again. And while that's going, I want to make a slight correction to a question that was asked earlier about the assembly names being the same. That is true for doing a single assembly, but if you're doing an assembly per folder, the prefix is staying the same. The last part of that assembly can, in fact, change. I'm pretty sure that is true, so I think I'm going to stand corrected on that point. I think the last part of that file name can change, even when you're doing a assembly version. That's part of the ASP.merge utility that's doing that, by the way. There is a separate spec on the ASP.merge utility, which is also available at the same place where you download web deployment projects, and it covers in great detail all the questions about the compiler options and assembly naming. So if I've said anything that's not quite right or seems confusing, pull down that spec and you'll get the nitty-gritty details. Just for fun, look what happened when I did this build. You notice when I did the build this time, it gave it the same build number of 512.08, but now the revision number is 1. So every time I'm building, I'm getting a new version number built onto my website. And I did that by extending the MS Build project file that's part of Web Deployment Project. So very powerful feature, lots of stuff you can do. I hope you find this useful.
Okay. Well, I don't think we have any more questions. I'll give you just all the audience another minute or so to ask any questions. Just a reminder to use the question window at the bottom of your screen if you have any. I don't know if there's anything else that you wanted to mention. You already pointed out your blog and the forums. And also, if there are any questions about the webcast and any follow-ups, go ahead and post your questions, and this also applies to you who are listening on the recording. and our MVPs. You can go ahead and ask your questions in the MVP forum. For those of you who are not MVPs, go ahead and use the forums that that Bradley already mentioned in the Visual Studio section. So one way or another, we'll look for your questions out on the ASP.NET forums and try to answer them as we can. Okay, I don't see any questions, so this is going to conclude our webcast. I want to really thank you, Brad, for a great presentation and a great tool. Thanks very much.
You bet. Download it. Have some fun.
All right. We'll see you all.